in my platforms, I hit the flow. Fell first down, didn't help my brain.
Hi, I'm Jamie Waxman, and this is the Hot Sox Podcast. My dear friends, Freddie and Eddie, over at the Behind the Wicket White Picket Fence podcast, have always helped me out with this podcast. And Ian, or Freddie, has been teaching me the best ways to podcast. I used to do radio for years. I know how to talk. I just don't know how to promote. So before I start this podcast this week, if you want to check me out, I'm Jamie Waxman, and you can follow me on Twitter at J-A-M-Y-E, or I'm on Facebook, J-A-M-Y-E-W-A-X-M-A-N, with a capital Y and X. In the meantime, I'm really excited, as always. I think I'm just generally an excited person. For this week's podcast, featuring two women who have really recreated themselves and rebranded themselves over the course of their lives. And now they together created a conference called MomentumCon in its second year in Washington, D.C., where they bring together people of the interwebs to talk about sexuality and gender and feminism. So it's Tess Dennessy and Dee Dennis. Oh, and they're really good at social media. So Momentum takes place March 30th and April 1st in Washington, D.C., and it's put on by these two women who I've known now, wow, for years, first with their work with the Sex Bloggers calendar, and now with MomentumCon and Tied Up Events. And you can check out Momentum at MomentumCon, MomentumCon.com. Guys, could you have thought of a harder name for the website?
No, nobody ever said that except you. you know what? What kind of can get confusing is M's and N's. So sometimes I have dyslexic typing, but I just thought that was me. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be called Momentum Con. It's Momentum, but the problem was we couldn't get the URL of just Momentum, so we did Con for conference, and somehow that just took off, and everybody calls it Momentum Con.
Oh, that's so funny. I've been calling it Momentum, but what do you guys call it?
I call it Momentum.
I do too.
Okay.
Or sometimes in short, MCON.
MCON. I like that.
I was thinking of MomCon, but that had the wrong connotation, so that didn't fly.
Well, it kind of doesn't have the wrong connotation if you think about it. I mean, you both are moms, and that's a part of who you are, right?
That's true.
So it is a mom con in a way. I mean, it's sort of also, you know, it reminds me for so many years, and there's this Gothamist piece online that I do say I'm not a feminist because I did not like that word. And it's like taking back the word mom to be a more empowered activist of sorts. Like maybe there is something there for you guys down the road.
Maybe another con.
That's a really good point though, Jamie, because I think a lot of people see moms as, you know, you're not supposed to talk about your sexuality when you have kids or, you know, oh, think of the children thing.
Right.
But the thing is, we are thinking of the children when we think about talking about sex, because they're going to have sex, whether we like it or we don't like it. And giving them knowledge is the most empowering thing we can do for them.
So before I get, because I want to go back and talk about you guys and how you got involved. And before Momentum, it was the Sex Blogger calendar and things like that. But you bring up a good point. There's this, I know that Barbie Davenport over at the LA Weekly was doing a piece today about another state that was going to eliminate sex education in the schools, even though it was already opt-in. How ridiculous. I mean, I'm phrasing it like you're going to answer the way I want, but it sounds like you were. You know, like, what could you say to parents about allowing their children to get proper sex education? Because it's amazing to me how many people are still afraid that what they'll learn in school is going to be in complete contrast to their morals and values of the family.
You know, what they'll learn in school is how to take care of their bodies and learn how their bodies function. It's interesting because we're doing an anthology for Momentum this year, and Dr. Joycelyn Elders wrote our foreword, and she talks a lot in that foreword about youth and sex and how it's almost can be considered abuse not to give people accurate information about their bodies, which can prevent them from acquiring STIs and can prevent pregnancy. And knowledge is the best preventative you have for all those things. And we keep it from our kids for some crazy reason.
Did you guys have sex education when you were growing up?
Very basic.
Not really,
sex ed.
Yeah.
Very basic sex ed.
What about the sex education you gave your children?
I always tried to talk to my daughter about sex from a very young age. And, you know, always any question she had, I always answered as honestly as I could in an age-appropriate way. When she decided, you know, when she had a boyfriend for a while, I basically asked her, and she was 16, if she, you know, how she wanted to protect herself. And then we took it from there. But, yeah, I mean, I just believe in being open and honest with my kid. And so far she's made good decisions.
I second that. My kids in our school system, they got the, you know, abstinence sex ed talk.
Okay.
Which I was appalled when they brought home the, you know, the literature on it. And for me, I have this thing where I want my kids to be able to come to me for anything. I call it the get out of jail card. There's nothing I don't want them to not be able to tell me. And that includes sex. You know, by them talking about sex, it doesn't force them to have sex. But I also don't want them getting, you know, pregnant, getting someone else pregnant, getting STIs, you know, all those things. I want them to understand and know that, you know, there's options out there.
Right. And also, from what I understand, a lot of kids will go to the internet for sex ed, and then they go to places like Yahoo Answers, or they at least if you can't get your kid to talk to you about sex, at least you can give them options that are good options where they can go online and get correct answers about sex and sexuality rather than something like typing in something about into Yahoo. Which is probably sure to give you the worst answers possible.
By the way, that bell sounded like you were dancing. I know it's your dog in the background, but it sounds like you're about to belly dance. No, and it's true. And actually, I was thinking Sex Etc. or Scarlet Teen are really great resources for sex advice for teens and people under 18. But this is not what I brought you. I want to talk about you guys. I really think there is something there about bringing back what a mom means. A mom doesn't mean that you lose your identity and your activism and your sexuality and your feminism. And I love the word feminist now. So I just want to go on the record and say that I am a feminist, but, I do think that that word mom is still a little tainted, like you were saying earlier, Dee.
Yeah, it is. I think so. I mean, it's like, you know, you look at the I Love Lucy show where they slept in twin beds. You know, moms don't, once you have a baby, you don't have sex or you don't talk about sex. And if you do, you know, it's like, you know, you're looked at as if there's something wrong with you.
Well, and the thing is, once you have a baby, sex does change, and we need to talk about that too, because sometimes, you know, I think you're unprepared for the change that can happen, and not knowing whether things are normal or not normal, and who do you talk to?
Okay, Tess, now you've got me curious. Can you talk a little about that?
Oh yeah. I mean, when I had my daughter, the first thing, you know, immediately until she was about probably almost a year old, but until they get to really sleep through the night, you're so freaking tired. Sometimes you don't even want to have sex. It's not like you're just so tired. And what you want to do when you have 5 minutes to yourself is take a shower or nap. At least that was my experience. It's like, oh God, she's sleeping. I can you know, if my husband were right next to me and he wanted to have sex, I'd probably be going, I'm just going to take a nap now. But but that, I mean, that changes, and your sex drive does come back. I think for most women it does. But it can be really scary to not have it and to wonder where it's gone. And it can be, and not to know how to talk about it with your partner. Is another thing. So
I also think your focus changes. Like before you have a baby, your focus is on your partner. And so of course, you know, sex is part of that. And once you have a baby, especially when they're first born the first year, your focus is first on that baby. And it's hard for your partner to take the number two spot. And, you know, it's hard to adjust to everything. And then there's the issue of body image. You know, it changes how you look, how you feel about yourself, you know, if you gained weight, if you have stretch marks. There's so many different things that come in. And then you have postpartum depression for a lot of mothers.
Right.
Right. There's all, I mean, these are all different cycles. It's, and then, of course, you know, you have those years of children. Like, that are just, then there's the children always there.
Always there, yeah. I have a small house. It's kind of like, now you're back to, like, having sex in your parents' house, that kind of feeling where you have to be quiet because you don't want to wake the kid, or if even if it's, you know, if you're beyond the point where you're worried about waking them, you just don't really want them to hear you. Or it's really, it's interesting. And I know Sherry Winston, I was at a class that she taught where she mentioned telling her kids, you know, it's going to get noisy now. If you want to leave, leave. And just being that open and honest about it and not really not feeling the need to stifle herself, which I think is great.
I think that's wonderful. I'm just trying to think, if that was my mom saying that to me, would that have, what kind of impression would that have left on me? I once walked in on my parents, I don't know if they know this, and I hope they don't listen to this, having sex. And it's still, it still has an impact on my experience of
psyche.
exactly. So you guys were and are, of course, mothers and working women. And you both got into the field of sexuality a little later on in life, not in your 20s. Were you in your 30s when you first started? Like, because you, I mean, how did you both get into this field?
Blogging. I think both of us started, you know, our first thing was by blogging, writing about our sex lives. And
yeah,
we met that way. And then we, you know, it just opened up opportunities and people we met. And
now, yeah. Dee, what is or was your blog then?
Right now it's ddennis.com. That's where most of my blogging is. It was really what I was blogging about when I started was the end of my marriage and divorce and going through that and finding, rediscovering my sexuality.
So how did blogging help you through all that?
It gave me a place to write my feelings and my thoughts of that and to explore my sexuality. It allowed me to meet other people such as Tess and you and, you know, so many people in the field of sexuality that I realized, oh, I'm not unusual and it's okay to be so, you know, empowered by my sexuality and to search and discover my sexuality.
And these are all really important things because I feel like we think our experiences, what we're going through, like divorce or breakups or whatever it is, are so us against the world. But when we go and reach out and find community, it makes life better.
Yeah, very much so. Because especially, I mean, I was your, you know, classic, typical suburban mom with the kids and, you know, the white picket fence and the pool and tennis club, and nobody talked about their sex lives.
Do you still go back to any of those places and talk about sex with people?
Not that much. I have one person who, a friend from high school who stopped talking to me because I was positive about pornography. I supported pornography and she just couldn't handle that.
Yeah, I've had friends who, where there are certain topics, either we're not friends anymore or there are certain topics we don't discuss.
And it's interesting because I think my experience is kind of opposite because I was always the one to talk about sex and always open about sex. Even throughout, I did accounting for many years and just people just kind of always knew, like, I was the one to go to, or I would be the one to ask kind of questions to, because I would always talk about it. I never felt that it was something that I needed to hide. So
Tess, how did you start online? What brought you online?
I was writing fiction and I just wanted a place to write fiction, never thinking that people would actually see it. Hence the ridiculous name of my blog at the time, because I didn't realize I was creating like a permanent URL.
And what was that name?
It was nyc-urban-gypsy.blogspot.com. You see? Who knew? So it gave me a place to post fiction, and then I started to write about my own sexuality and what was going on in my life, which ranged from, you know, trials and travails with my parents being here to, like, really crazy, wild sex adventures. So,
and
that may be true or maybe fiction. Yeah.
And now, are you still blogging somewhere?
Not really. I haven't really blogged in a long time. And I got kind of busy with other things and kind of felt less the need to put everything out there, you know?
Yeah, I think that's another thing that a lot of people go through as bloggers, and maybe at least for me as a sex blogger, when I first started blogging, it was all about me, what I'm doing, where I am, what I'm eating, who I'm eating, who I'm doing, whatever. And then at some point it becomes more about us, like, or
about
others.
Issues, right?
Yeah, issues, stories. Like, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you. Or what do you think about me? Although that's just my favorite line to say. So do you guys remember the first time you met?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where was it? What was it?
We met, I met her after work. We had known each other for about 2 months online. We chatted every day. And then I met her after work one day to go to my, In the Flesh. There was a couple of readers I wanted to hear.
So that's a reading series that was happening in New York. Is it still happening? It was Rachel Kramer Bussell.
No. Okay. It ended over a year ago.
Okay. And so you met up at In the Flesh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you guys are, I mean, you're friends, and then you have all of these things that you have done together from, I mean, Now you have Tied Up Events and you have Momentum, but you also had the Sex Bloggers calendar.
Yes.
How did that come about?
That was interesting. I mean, we were just having a kind of anxiety-ridden summer, and I just had been looking online and saw that some other bloggers were doing this calendar. And I thought, like, how cool is that? We should just do a calendar. Let's, like, do something good. Let's forget about all the stupid, angst and crap that was going on. Let's do something good. Let's do it. Let's try to raise money to benefit something, a cause that we like. And we know all these great people in New York, and let's see if we can get them together. And it came together so fast. It was incredible. We got, you know, enjoys Greg DeLong to print the calendar for us. Without him, that would have never existed, because printing was an expense that we weren't quite prepared for how expensive an expense that was.
Mm.
And we got, you know, we did one, and you were there, so you know all about how
that I got to be Wonder Woman that year. I loved that.
It was the best day. And for me, it was like the best year of the calendar, that first year. It was so good.
I mean, you took 12 of us and put us in the slipper room for the day in our sexy outfits and, you know.
Yeah, hair and makeup done. It was a lot of fun.
And Stacey Joyce shot all of us in one day. And I mean, it was a crazy day, but it was so funny. I remember you, like, going through the streets of the Lower East Side trying to find a lasso.
A golden lasso.
And I got asked out by some guy who was like, I'm sorry, Wonder Woman was always my fantasy. Will you go to dinner with me tonight?
See? Yeah.
Oh, I met the vulva puppet later that day. That was a fun day, and that was a really fun calendar and a great idea. And again, you know, it goes back. There's a theme here to this podcast, which I'm realizing, although I should have realized it a long time ago, is you guys are really, you're about community. You provide it wherever you go. With the calendar, you provided it. With Momentum, you provide it. With Tied Up Events, in other capacities, you care to provide it. So you guys really came together because you were sort of two peas in separate pods, but you found a way to jump into the same pod and create a larger pad of sorts.
Well, the other thing I think is we do things we like. Like, it's like, let's create a calendar. And then Momentum was, I want to go to this type of conference. And Tess was like, me too. And we said, well, let's create it. Maybe we can get 100 of our friends to show up, you know?
So what is this type of conference?
Well, when we looked around at the conferences, the sexuality conferences that are around, you see a lot of like kind of how-tos, such as Doc Odyssey, and those are great if you want that kind of thing. But we wanted more of an intellectual approach to sexuality and something more inclusive than just kink-focused. Or even I had gone 1 year to ASEC, and that was very much geared to its market, educators and therapists. And we wanted educators and therapists to be part of our conference, but not all of our conference. We wanted to bring everybody together and create something that wasn't there before. So, and we wanted to hear about sex from all angles and all aspects. And we just figured that the people we know are going to be interested in that too. So we have sessions on sex work, we have sessions on porn, we have sessions on gender, we have
gender. I like how you said that. Gender. It was your New York out. Gender.
Yeah.
On media.
So you guys really have spanned the gamut. You're covering, I mean, it says making waves in sexuality and feminism when you go to MomentumCon.com. And so you really cover the gamut. Is there anything you won't talk about?
We haven't come up with anybody suggesting anything we won't talk about, but I'm sure somebody could find something.
We've never had anything, you know, we received over 100 submissions this year for, you know.
Wow. So how many people presented? I presented last year. How many people presented last year?
32 sessions last year.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to say number of presenters because some were panels. We did 32 sessions last year.
And I think we had about 50 presenters last year is what, And this year we have 40 sessions and about 70 presenters.
Wow.
Opening and closing of plenary panels.
So Momentum takes place, I want to go back to the opening and closing in a moment here, but it takes place in Washington, D.C. at what hotel?
Crystal City Marriott.
At Reagan Airport. There's two Crystal Cities. Right. It's the one at Reagan Airport.
And starts Friday night the 30th, correct?
Yes.
And so the opening panel, you guys get some pretty impressive names. Who do you have speaking this year that you're really excited? I mean, you're really excited about everyone. You did get a really big cool with Jocelyn and Elders, like you said.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. So she's going to be on the closing panel.
Correct.
Along with Esther Perel, who she was part of the inspiration for Momentum because Tess and I think you did too, attended Sex in America.
Yes. Esther is just an inspiration. She's one of the reasons I want to become a therapist. So, yes, she's, Sex in America, which was an event that was put on in New York City by, who put that event?
Huffington Post.
It was Open Center, though, did it.
The Open Center and the Huffington Post.
Yeah, I think it was together,
It was Esther and Corey Silverberg and
Amy Sohn,
right. And
there was somebody else.
At least one or two others, and I'm sorry that we don't remember who.
Ian Kerner.
Yes, Ian Kerner.
And I remember the woman who says that sex is not a natural.
Oh, Leonore Tiefer. She's amazing. Sex is not natural. She's amazing and scares the bejesus out of me with her brains. So,
But that was my first experience of going to something like that and hearing people talk about sexuality. And, you know, it really impacted me where I said, I want to attend more things like
that. I think we left there saying, now that's what I want to hear more of, and that would be great to have a weekend of talks just like that. And that's really where the idea kind of came from.
What do you think, instead of me asking, because I did ask what you're most excited about or who, what do you think are some of the panels that you really couldn't find anywhere else that you guys are presenting this year?
Well, I'm really interested in, like, there's a lot of panels on sexual assault and consent, and changing what we know of as consent. I think consent is it's so murky, and it doesn't have to be right now, but it really is murky, and it's because the way we, as a society, teach our kids. It's like we teach our kids that, you know, our daughters, that girls should be like shy. You might want sex, but you shouldn't be too aggressive about wanting sex. You should kind of pretend that you don't and make him convince you. So And we teach our boys that, you know, this girl is saying no, but she might mean yes. And now you're giving these kids these messages. And when they do push limits, how can you expect them not to, almost? Because of the messages that we give them. So I think that if we can make consent something different and something very clear, and say, you know, yes means yes when it's a very enthusiastic yes, and if it's not a very enthusiastic yes, then it's no. I think that's a more powerful message, and will, you know, can save a lot of people a lot of issues later on.
Brilliance. I mean this conference just, you know, how much has it grown from last year?
We expected 125 at the most last year, and we had to cut it off at 250 because we couldn't sell any more, you know, tickets. We had no space. This year we've bumped it up to 450, and it looks like at the rate we're going, we'll sell out again.
Wow.
So I want to go back to my favorite, which is yes. None of them. And my favorite is the overall message of the conference, in that, you know, people ask, why is Momentum so popular? And I think because there, no other conference is geared towards everyone. And so someone might come and want to talk, you know, because the consent sessions, you know, really spark their interest. And then they go sit in on something that is, you know, about gender, and they learn a lot, or about polyamory. And it's so, for me, it's a, I call it cross-pollination, that although we're all in the field of sexuality, or we're all, you know, somewhat, you know, more educated about sexuality, there's so much we all need to learn, and this helps.
Right. It's extremely, you know, it's like the first interdisciplinary sexual think tank, I think, is a good way to put it, because that's really what it is. We want people to go there and listen and take away these messages that they hear, and make something happen on their own. You know, I mean, if they want to create their own events, whatever they do, if they want to write, you know, they'll go away with inspiration to write more, or to, you know, whatever it is. Last year, one of our attendees started her own conference in Toronto, and called Playground, which was about, I think, polyamory and relationships.
Yep.
So, I mean, we loved hearing that.
One of our attendees last year, who came and blogged about it and absolutely loved it, yep, is presenting this year.
I think that you brought, again, the community thing that I keep bringing up, but the other part, the cross-pollination that you were saying, Dee, is so, it's so important. I've always struggled in this field, and I like how you also worded that we are better educated about sex. It's a very big, important distinction for me, because when I stand in front of a room and say, I'm a sex educator, it really closes the doors for people who don't talk about sex, who go to the country club, who hear you say, I know more than you about sex and want to run. And the way you say better educated, I really, that phrasing is going to stick with me. So thank you. But the cross-pollination, the kink thing, and the polyamory, I feel like we still in this field are so, we put up our fences around our own little box. And because we've already had to defend that box so much and so many times, we don't want you in our box. And that this really breaks down those walls to say, like, it's okay. We can build a bigger, we don't even need a fence. Like, we can go out there and take this on together. And are you guys getting a lot, any good, like, mainstream coverage right now? Because this deserves it.
No. We don't get, honestly, no. We don't get mainstream
coverage. We're trying.
Why do you think it is? Is it because it's sex? Or do you think it's because of some of the topics that you guys decide to bring in? Or
I think it's probably because it's sex. Mainstream doesn't talk about it unless they want to sensationalize it.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's a double-edged sword. We want some mainstream publicity, and we're afraid of what that will bring, because Momentum's goal is to create a safe space for people to come and talk about these things. And once, we're kind of sketchy about mainstream media, because we know what that is, and like Dee said, it's always sensationalized. We have sex workers who attend this, and we want to make sure that they can continue to come and attend Momentum. We feel like that they are a really important part of the sexuality community in general, and we want them there. And, you know, when you have mainstream media, you don't know what's going to come of that. So
that's
we're a little
true.
Bit weary of it.
Mm.
That's the other thing that's unique about Momentum is we do identify as a feminist conference, and we do welcome sex workers.
And porn,
where a lot of feminist conferences don't.
And men. And people who don't, and anyone who doesn't identify in any gender as well, or exactly. Every gender. So and that's very true. I mean, a lot of the conferences, well, not only do they welcome sex workers, but some of them don't welcome people who don't have a certain amount of letters behind their name. Even if they allow you, it's not the same. So, I think what you guys are doing, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. You said you both were not even in, you know, and I'm just making this point because I think it's important for us to all realize it's never too late to start doing whatever it is you love doing or doing something new. You guys were, you know, already moms of teenagers when this started, and already, you know, living lives that you had been living for a while, and you found something, the life-changing events that made you passionate, or just the fact that you were passionate, Tess, and you created a movement. You guys are creating the next wave.
We hope so.
So what's after this?
I don't know.
A vacation?
So again, where can people find you and on Twitter and on Facebook and all of that?
I'm at @urban_gypsy on Twitter, and I'm Tess Danesi, DanEsi, on Facebook.
And what about Momentum on Facebook?
Yep, Momentum has its own page. It also has the event. It has a Twitter account that is MomentumCon. My account is D Dennis on Twitter, and I'm D Dennis on Facebook.
And last thing, I'm going to put you guys both on the spot, but just one reason, it's on the spot more for Momentum than anything, but one reason everyone should attend this conference.
Rush Limbaugh.
That's a great answer.
It is.
I mean, you look at the issues, especially this year with what's gone on with the fight for, you know, birth control and, you know, the law that was just signed in Virginia, all these issues, especially about women, but it's not just a woman's issue. It's everybody's sexuality.
Yeah. Vaginal ultrasounds being, women being
mandatory is scary. Yeah.
That drives me insane. It really is. It's like institutionalized rape. I've had a vaginal ultrasound. If you don't want that, if you're not doing it for health, you know, health reasons, if you're doing it because you're forced to do it in order to have an abortion, it really is a very horrible thing.
And also, you know, many people are upset with, you know, are outraged at what Rush said about calling that woman a slut. But then he went on to call her a prostitute as if it was insulting and negative and derogatory. And I think that's another big issue that, you know, people who work in the sex industry, he basically just slammed everybody in that industry, and not one person is outraged.
Well, you know, the thing about Rush, and I will say this, I agree with you, Dee, that like the fact that there are these types of incidents make it really atrocious and make you want to band together. But this guy's been a dick for a long time, and that's why he gets on radio.
Give a lot of attention to, but I just said him as a, you know, because it was funny. But the other
funny
issues
but
that
true
are going
at the same
on,
time, because he's not the only person who thinks that way.
And no. Unfortunately, he has a big, you know, listenership.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, these issues are being fought in the government now. You know, where they're taking up issues like what just got signed into law in Virginia. And like you started it off with saying, you know, they're pulling sex education out of the school systems.
I mean, yeah, abstinence-only education is another reason for Momentum, because it's crazy and ineffective. And the European model is so much more sane, you know, where they expect teenagers to have sex and have sexual feelings. And so they give them the knowledge they need to make powerful decisions, to make accurate knowledge, to make good decisions. That's really the best you can do. You can't, you know, you're not going to drive hormones out of kids. It's going to happen.
I remember when I was a kid thinking, I hope I remember that I really want sex right now when I'm an adult and I don't want my kid to have sex. And I did, I mean, I don't have children, but I did remember feeling that. So I'm proud.
I mean, sex was great for me from when I started having it, you know, till now, and I hope it continues to be fabulous forever. So, I mean, you know, why you don't want your kids to have sex is, it's just so unrealistic. And I remember seeing some moms at the mall where kids were going to a movie, and somehow the conversation got to be about, you know, violent movies versus movies with sex in them. And she said that she'd rather have her kids see a violent film. And I was perplexed and like, why? And she said, because, you know, my kid is never going to get violent. I mean, that's not going to happen. They're not going to emulate this, but they, you know, if they see sex on the screen, that's something that they're going to do. And it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, look around you, read the newspapers, violence in kids happens too.
I wonder how many kids are making meth thanks to Breaking Bad. It's so ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah, the things that we don't worry about, and the things that we think are okay, you know, violence is okay in America, but talking about sex isn't. And it's crazy. It's crazy. So
I hate to break it to you guys, but you do have another conference here. You do. And if you don't do it, I'll be mad at you. MomCon 2013. It's coming your way after MomentumCon or before or whenever. But there is a lot there that would be great. I mean, even like if we could talk about this another time, because my ideas are too good to give away for free over here. So,
I want to be the anti-million mom, because those million moms drive me absolutely insane.
Well, you could be the other million moms.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, they just follow every TV show, every commercial, and it just reminds me, you know,
they just need to get laid more. I think that's what
that's what I thought when I went to the anti-porn conference of the women in that room.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like you need to have sex.
They just need to have sex more. I mean, you can.
You know what? It's okay if they don't like sex. That's cool.
Exactly. Okay, fine. You're being the good one here, Tess. You're right. They don't have to have sex.
They don't have to like it, but don't make it that because they don't like it, that we all have to suffer. They don't like porn, therefore porn is evil and bad and anti-feminist, while you have women who are in porn coming up and saying, I've never felt more empowered. I mean, it's up to the individual. It's up to who creates the porn, who produces it, under what conditions. Porn can be a terrible thing for people, and
absolutely,
it can be empowering. There's no one answer.
And I've worked in both. I've worked in it as a terrible experience that I'd never want to repeat, and I've worked in it as a glorious, fun, you know, adventure. So I've been there on both ends of it myself. So you're absolutely right. We can carry on. I'm so excited. I'm going to see you guys in a few weeks at MomentumCon. So yeah, I'll be there with gasm.org. And if you can be there too, I highly recommend checking out really the cutting edge conference of the year when it comes to social media, when it comes to feminism and sexuality. When you want it all under one roof, you can have it at the Marriott by the Reagan Airport.
It's the City Marriott at Reagan Airport.
But go to MomentumCon.com, check it out. Check out Dee and what's your name? Tess? Who are you? Who are you? See, I know other names. No, so I have to like stop, drop, and think. I'm really actually looking forward to meeting the woman who was responsible for the creation of the Masturbate-a-thon. And I'm not talking Carol Queen. I'm talking Joycelyn Elders, because without her, Masturbate-a-thon would not have come into existence in the 90s when she tried to defend masturbation in front of the United Nations Council on World AIDS Day. And don't forget, it was President Clinton who fired her, just for the record.
Yes,
he did. So it's politics is a dirtier word than sex, but MomentumCon is not a dirty word at all. So check it out, MomentumCon.com. Check me out on Twitter at JAMYE. This is a Hot Socks. Well, it is the Hot Socks podcast, not a Hot Socks podcast. This is the Hot Socks podcast. I'll be back again next week. Until then, don't try the veal. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
You know, kids, I wish every mom and dad would make a speech to their teenagers and say, kids, be free. Be whatever you are, do whatever you want to do, just so long as you don't hurt anybody. And remember, kids, I am your friend.